couple of years ago, I turned 30. Right? Just a couple. And Jenny decided to surprise me with a birthday party for my 30th birthday. And we celebrated out at Eagle Creek with a few close friends, like Juan Prieto. You kind of maybe see him in the background there. And that's my daughter, Vila, when she was little. So I guess it was a few years ago. But anyway, I remember enjoying. Jenny had set this up. She had it catered by Qdoba, and friends and family came, and it was just nice to celebrate. And I remember one of the things that I said that night was, it's so nice to be at a party with everyone who I like. And I was thinking, and I think that was probably during a dark time in my life, and there were a few people I was probably around a lot that I didn't really like, and I was glad Jenny didn't invite those people. Because I wanted, on my 30th party, since it was about me, I wanted to be surrounded by people I like, not people I didn't like. You have people you don't like? Is it just me? It's quiet. Maybe you're sitting right next to them. But enemies. Today we're talking about being in the presence of enemies. What comes to mind when you think of an enemy? Maybe you picture a person or a couple people, an organization, a group, but enemies. And maybe you're like me. I don't know what you want to do with your enemies. Maybe you would like your enemies to just go away. Maybe you would like your enemies to experience something bad. And if something bad happened to somebody you didn't like, you might feel good about it. But we all have different desires. Some of us maybe even want to turn our enemies into friends. And today we're talking about enemies and what the purpose of them is, or what we can do, what they have to teach us, what we can learn from our enemies. As we're looking at another verse in 23rd Psalm, we're continuing our series. So if you will recite with me, we're going to recite the first four verses together. So if you will read with me, let's remember the first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Doesn't that sound good? I will fear no evil, being comforted. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we've been talking about contentment. We've been talking about restoration. We've been talking about not having fear. All ideas that sound so good to us in the real world, because we grapple with fear. We grapple with being discontent. We grapple with where we should go, what we should do, discernment. We want restoration. So today we're going to start with Psalm 23:5, and we're going to start with the first part. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's a version of this that I like better. This is not how I would write it, but it's this. You prepare a table before me in the absence of my enemies. What do you like better? At my 30th birthday party, I wanted my enemies absent, if I had any. I would rather eat not surrounded. I'd rather eat in the absence of my enemies. You know, there's something sacred about a table. When you're sitting down at a table, there's something that's intimate, and it's kind of hard to eat with enemies. I don't know. That's just my preference, is not to be. I would just rather them not be there. Kind of concept that Pastor Brandon laughs about sometime is escapism. And I think all of us, and to some degree, we want to escape at times. Maybe we're stressed out. We just want to get away. We have those moments. In the 80s, there was a Calgon, take me away, get in the bath and escape reality. But escapism is something that's been in the church a lot too. And sometimes there's this idea of we're just kind of here and we just want to be away from it all and escape into heaven. And I think that there is some natural and good desire in the wanting to go be with God, as Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But as we're thinking about, God has placed us in different places, and as the psalmist acknowledges, that God, the shepherd, is the one who prepares the table in the presence of enemies. So today, instead of thinking about just escaping or getting rid of, we want to really think about maybe if God in his infinite wisdom has not just gotten rid of all enemies. You know, and one of the theological conundrums that a lot of us have is, if God is God, good and all-powerful, why would he allow Satan? Why would he allow an adversary? Why would he allow enemies? Why would he allow the devil to do such destruction? And again, if I were writing, I would have the table in the absence of enemies. But the psalmist says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so I wonder if maybe God has some reasons for not just getting rid of all of our enemies right now. And as we're thinking about this, this was written by David. And David is most famous for the giant Goliath. And so we're going to think about David and his life a little bit because he's the one who wrote this. And we're going to think about the event that made him famous. This is a time when he was in the Valley of Elah, where he made his name. He was a shepherd boy. He was a person who wasn't well known. And he went out to fight Goliath. And so as he did, this is in the Philistine as Goliath. 1 Samuel 17 says this, "And the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." In the presence of our enemies, a lot of times, what do our enemies do? Our enemies are known to maybe taunt us. They're around to curse us, maybe make us feel like we don't belong. When the Philistine Goliath saw David, he tried to make him feel like he didn't even belong in the same field as him. Look at this. Am I a dog? You're coming with sticks. And he cursed him and he insulted him and he tried to convince him of his inferiority. The Bible talks a lot about us having spiritual enemies. It says we have struggles, and it's not flesh and blood, but we have struggle against rulers, authorities, powers of this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil. And the Bible talks about the devil, talks about Satan, and it describes Satan as a lion looking to devour. So Satan is described as a devourer. He's described as a liar. He tries to tell lies to deceive us. He's a thief who tries to steal, and he's an accuser. And you see some of these elements in what Goliath is doing, the enemy. He's trying to accuse. He's trying to devour him. He's trying to intimidate him. I don't know if you're like me, but I would just rather not have those voices in my life. Wouldn't you just like to be absent of those voices? And yet, they surround us sometimes. They are present in our lives. Let's move on to what David says next in Psalm 23:5. "You anoint my head with oil." And thinking again about, and it's interesting how we anointed Kristen this morning. "You anoint my head with oil." It brings back when David was anointed. Because before David killed Goliath and faced Goliath, he was anointed by Samuel. So we're going to look at that and how that went down. So in 1 Samuel, go ahead and pull that up. Is that in there? Okay. "And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint David, of this is he.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers." David had been chosen. He'd been anointed for a purpose. And here, as he's in the presence of his enemies at a table, he's reminded that God has anointed him for a purpose. God has anointed him, set him apart for a purpose. And he's holding on to that purpose that God has. So he's remembering. And then the last part of Psalm 23:5, after you anoint my head with oil, he says simply, my cup overflows. Our enemies try to convince us of inadequacy. They try to make us feel scarce, have a scarcity kind of mindset where we don't have enough, we aren't enough, we're inadequate for the task. But here David is meeting those thoughts of scarcity with abundance. My cup overflows, I have more than enough. The enemy wants us intimidated. But overflowing is an image of abundance. David's focusing on the abundance that God provides. One of the chapters that's paralleled Psalm 23 has been John 10. In John 10, Jesus talks about how he's the good shepherd. In John 10:11, he says he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's the protector who's preparing the table before David in the presence of his enemies. But right before he talks about laying his life down for his sheep, he says, I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. The good shepherd here is saying the same thing David did. I'm pouring, your cup is going to overflow with me. It's going to be abundant. Don't think in terms of scarcity. Don't get caught up in inadequacy. I give more than enough. I've come to pour out life, not just barely enough, but I've come so that you may have life abundantly. We're reminded of that in Jesus' words. So the table that he's prepared for us is about abundance. The table is, the language used, it's a feast. The table is steak and lobster. The table is a Thanksgiving dinner. The table is Qdoba. But the point is that we're being honored. God is honored. He's preparing a table of abundance. And the presence of the enemies are there, but he's giving enough. God is providing enough. Our enemies try to convince us we don't have enough. My cup overflows. Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. When Goliath met David, he tried to convince him to come and fight. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to suck us into a fight, and he wants it on his terms and his way. Goliath was taunting David, daring him to come and do hand-to-hand combat, fight his way. While the good shepherd, in contrast, says, come to the table. Goliath cursed David as just a boy, and yet the Lord anointed him as the coming king. Goliath scoffed at David, and he said he was coming at him with sticks. The Lord had given David more than he needed to defeat Goliath. What did David need to defeat Goliath? He wasn't sticks. It was a sling. And he had 5 smooth stones. And how many did he need? He needed one. David had more than enough. Listen to what David says to the giant in reply. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, this is key here, not with sword and spear. He's not fighting the same battle Goliath is. Goliath wanted to fight sword and spear. He says, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. I want to read a section and thinking about David going against Goliath with his slingshot and his 5 smooth stones versus Goliath, who was armed out. He had a sword. He had a spear. This is, again, it's from David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants by Malcolm Gladwell. He writes this. Eaton Hirsch, a ballistics expert with the Israeli Defense Forces, recently did a series of calculations showing that a typical sized stone hurled by an expert slinger at a distance of 35 meters would have hit Goliath's head with a velocity of 34 meters per second, more than enough to penetrate his skull and render him unconscious or dead. In terms of stopping power, that is the equivalent to a fair-sized modern handgun. We find, Hirsch writes, that David could have slung and hit Goliath in a little more than 1 second, a time so brief that Goliath would not have been able to protect himself, and during which he would have been stationary for all practical purposes. In other words, Goliath was bringing a knife to a gunfight, if you think about it. David's cup overflowed. The enemy had a different battle. He was trying to suck David into the battle. And if it would have been hand-to-hand combat, sure, he would have won. But David was, he had a sling. David was the archer. David was the one who at that distance had a huge advantage. He had more than he needed. He had 5 smooth stones when all he needed was 1. But he didn't get sucked up into the enemy's battle. He let the Lord take care of it. It wasn't about sword and spear. It was the Lord's battle. And the Lord had equipped David by teaching him and helping him develop his skills, which at that distance, David, it was a no-brainer that David could win that one. He was fighting a different battle. And another is, Pastor Brandon even spoke this scripture this morning, and he speaks it a lot. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. A lot of times the enemy will speak words to us and will try to get us sucked into a battle that we won't win if we fight the same way he does. The Apostle Paul would write, "We don't fight as the world fights. We don't wage war as the world fights. We do it differently. It's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit." And the Lord had a different way for David, and he's got a different way for us, and it's not the enemy. We think a lot of times that what we need is out there. Man, if our circumstances were better, if we had this, if we had more talent, if we were a different person, a lot of times we think what we need is out there, and that's what the enemies try to convince us. You don't have enough. You can't do it. You're too small. Are you coming after me with sticks? But we don't need to respond to the enemy's threats in the way that the enemy threatens us. God provides enough right here and right now. Jesus came so that we'd have abundant life. And right around us, he's provided us with more than we need right here, right now. So there's no need to escape. God has placed in us and around us enough, more than enough, when we look to him, when we let the battle belong to the Lord. You prepare a table before me. It's about the table with David. This is the emphasis. It's not the presence of my enemies. They're still there. But the emphasis is that there's a table that's being prepared for you. You belong at the table. You don't have to be smarter. You don't have to have a better personality. You don't have to be cooler or wear different clothes or drive different cars. There's a place for you at the table. The Lord is preparing a place for the table. He says, come to the table. There's no need to escape. You belong. That's the message of the church that is so beautiful, is the table is open for all. Come to the table. Come to the table and experience life. There's a table prepared for you. So I want to encourage you this week, thinking about that, as the enemy will try to convince maybe of scarcity or that you don't have enough. Look to God to be enough. You look around you. Believe that it's enough. Listen to him and how he's providing. See how he overflows your cup and gives you more than you need to get through whatever you're dealing with. God will provide. The battle belongs to the Lord. Don't listen to the enemy. Revelation, the picture is an invitation to the table. It's a feast. It's wonderful that he continues to prepare a table. Listen to some of the last words in Scripture. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come to the table. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Goliath said to David, come. David didn't listen to him because he had a table. He had more than enough. Don't listen to your enemy who says, come. Listen to the Lord who says, come. The Spirit, the bride, come. This morning, just want to, we're going to have a reflective song about the table. I want to just encourage you to spend time with God and giving Him and going to the table, because there's a place for you. You don't need to try to fit in like your enemies try to convince you. You belong. He prepares a table for you. Come. Just have to be willing to come. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, sometimes in this world we get distracted by enemies. Jesus said that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that there is an enemy who we wrestle with, Father, and for whatever reason, Lord, this enemy is still allowed to be in our presence. Father, it's not time yet for that, for us to be fully delivered and for us not to struggle. But as we struggle, Lord, as we struggle with whatever enemies that we have, Lord, help us to look to You with faith that You provide enough. Father, thank You for this invitation that we all have, that we don't have to clean up or look better or have more money or just be different, but You've invited us all to come to the table, no matter where we're from, no matter what we have, no matter what our skin looks like, how we talk, Father. But help us, Lord. Help us to hear that invitation to come. Help us to experience the belonging. We thank You for Your church. We thank You for the gospel. We thank You for this opportunity that we have to be a part of what You're doing and to find our belonging and our hope, and our soul can find rest in You. Help us to experience that this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.